Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 1308. The topic is nutrition and the title is My Go-To Diets for Fat Loss and Weight Gain. Thought this might be interesting as people just kind of know or get to hear about what the parameters are or what I do when I'm trying to lose body fat and or when I'm trying to lose weight versus when I'm trying to gain weight. Now, specifically when I'm losing weight, I don't want to just lose weight as in like water weight and muscle along with fat. I'm trying to like lose just fat, and we'll talk about that here in a second. When I'm trying to gain weight, I don't want to gain a bunch of fat and a bunch of water bloat. I want to gain mostly muscle. So the parameters and stuff I'm giving you are with that in mind. So when we think of weight loss, we really want fat loss. When we think of weight gain, we want muscle gain. So those are important things to consider because they do change how you approach what you do. So, for example, if you don't know that, if you're not aware of that distinction, then it can be something where, like, if we start a keto diet, if you've never done keto before, and you just take away carbohydrates, you might lose 8 pounds in the first couple days or the first week. That is not fat. You're not losing 8 pounds of fat. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen that fast. The significant amount of that weight is water weight, which is why whenever you start to eat any carbohydrates again, your weight will go up all of a sudden. And, you know, it could be a pound or two or three or four, you know, in one day. That is not fat. You are not gaining fat that fast. That is just simply water being retained back within your muscles and under your skin. So there's weight change that happens due to water weight manipulation. And we just want to be aware of that and make sure that we're not, judging that as fat loss when it's actually just water weight change. So, if we go through this, now I've gained a lot of weight over the years in a good way, and I've lost a lot of body fat over the years in good ways. So body fat, like I've lost 50 pounds in 10 weeks or less 3 times. I lost 70 pounds in 10 months 1 time. And I've also just in the last, I started doing this stuff when I was 15, I'm 38. So the last 23 years, I've done a bajillion and one diets, but I've been able to gain size, but actually get leaner. So I kind of started my lifting experience around 165 pounds and pretty chubby. Like you could grab fat rolls around my waist. So I was actually very, very, very muscularly thin. I am now 280. So I've gained 115 pounds and I do not have fat rolls around my waist, thank goodness. So I have gained 115 pounds, but I am significantly leaner, 115 pounds heavier. So I've done kind of both of these things in short bursts, like losing fat and gaining muscle. I've done them in short bursts, and I've also done them in long term over time. So that's a little bit about my background. There's, anytime you want to learn a little bit more about me, you're welcome to reach out and ask. I did do a recent couple podcasts that talked about my experience in education and a little bit more about me. The nutrition-based one is podcast 1296. So if you haven't listened to that, that might be fun to listen to, just kind of hear a little bit about my background. Okay, so let's get into this. So before we talk about what I do for fat loss, before we talk about what I do for weight gain, let's talk about what I do no matter what. How about that? So good place to start. My baseline habits when it comes to nutrition, podcast 1147 is titled Eat Early, Eat Often, Eat to Match. I do that all the time. That's just an intuitive way to eat now. I don't even pay attention to the fact that I'm doing it, except for when I have to make a podcast explaining what I do. But I eat early in my day. I start getting calories in my face within an hour of waking up. I eat often throughout the day, and then I eat to match, meaning I eat more food, more calories during the day than I do at night. And I've learned to do that over the years. It has helped me immensely. Oh my gosh, like inexplainably the value of that. So it's helped me build muscle tissue, stay lean. It's helped daily energy, mood, craving control, everything under the sun has been helped by doing those habits of eating early in the day, eating often throughout the day, and then eating to match. One of the things that people struggle with is like trying to get in food during the day. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't even matter really, like, you don't have to sit down and have a Thanksgiving meal in the middle of the day. It can be, you know, a package of nuts. It can be a protein bar. It can be, you know, just a drink, maybe a protein-based drink. You can just be eating a Snickers in the middle of the day. Just really anything, just getting food in during the day. So that way, you're not hungry so much at night, and your body's not trying to store body fat and try to store calories at night from having to run all day underfed. So I have a ton of foods that I eat very quickly, like bagel sandwiches you can make in 2 minutes. I have microwavable rice, microwavable chicken sausages that you can microwave and eat in under 5 minutes. So there's a million and one ways to do that if you want to do that. Then Podcast 702 is a nutrition podcast titled Consistency Over Details. I don't get too worried about whether I'm eating the perfect foods or not. You're just trying to say, okay, let me get, you know, food in fast, let me get food in often, and then let me taper off throughout the rest of the day, like as my energy is low, activity is low. But that's just the thing, is consistency over details. I don't get worried about details. Because if I miss one thing, which we all know, you can't control everything in life. And as you get older in life, like as I shifted from, you know, teens to 20s to 30s, and especially as I shifted from, you know, part-time jobs while going through college to having my own business, man, you cannot control everything. Nutrition just, like, eating chicken breast and white rice for lunch every day cannot happen. There's just a million one things that get in the way of that. So what am I really looking at? Okay, I want something with protein, and I want something that gives me energy, which is carbs and fats. So I would like to have something with protein that has some substance to it, so it takes a little while to digest, so I'm not hungry in an hour. I want to make sure I have carbs and fats, that we have some energy. So you're just saying, like, okay, what is this food doing for me? What does chicken and rice do for me? And then what else can I eat? You know, so if it's chicken and rice, and that's what you normally have, but all of a sudden, you know, you don't have that, you're running late somewhere, stop at a gas station, and you can get like a wrap, tortilla wrap with some type of meat in it. Whether it's chicken, turkey, you know, beef, whatever it might be, it does the same damn thing. Gets you protein, gets you energy, and gets you moving, right? So just consistency over details. And then 261, hydration for health, energy, and performance. It's a good podcast. I work to stay hydrated all day. The more hydrated I am, the better I feel in terms of digestion of my food. I get more energy throughout the day. I don't feel so bloated and bogged down. It's very helpful, very, very helpful to stay hydrated. Most people have no clue how dehydration affects them until they start drinking at least a half a gallon of fluid a day. I would work up to 3/4 of a gallon and then up to a gallon if you're like probably over like 200 pounds. I'd be having like a gallon of fluid a day. If you're under 200 pounds, you might be able to get away with like 3/4 of a gallon. But being hydrated is a great thing. It really, really helps in a million different ways. So those are the baseline habits. Those are things I do all the time, regardless of what I want, in regards to fat loss or muscle gain, weight gain. Okay. So now if we look into fat loss, I'm going to give you some steps that I do, and then we'll kind of summarize this. I eat bigger meals in the day and reduce carbohydrates and fats in the evening. Now, this is something that I started to do that helped when I also started implementing eat early, eat often, eat to match, that kind of concept. I used to eat like everybody else. Is you'd say you're too busy during the day, and then you would eat, you know, most of your food at night. And it's too hard then to control like a surplus of calories in the moment in the evening. So people measure calories per day, which is stupid. Now, I do that with clients because I help them track their total volume of calories per day. But we also pay attention to, and I give them critiques on, distribution. So they can't go all day eating, you know, like a third of their calories and then eat 2/3 of their calories in the evening right before bed. Hell no. That is not going to get us the results we want. So when I realized that that was a waste of my time and I was only hurting myself by eating like that, I started to realize, okay, I am busy during the day, but I also want my results. I want my goals to be met. So rather than me just saying I'm too busy to eat and then doing jack shit about it, I started doing something about it. It's amazing what you can figure out when you actually decide to just freaking figure it out. So quit it with the excuses. Everyone's busy. Just figure it out. If you say you want the result, then figure it out, right? So I started eating more of my calories earlier in the day, and that partly, you know, led to me eating breakfast, even though I've never really liked breakfast. When I was growing up, I wouldn't usually eat till noon or sometimes till dinner. I would typically eat only one or two meals a day, but that's why I had no muscle when I was fat. So I had to change that if I wanted. I had to change my eating habits if I wanted to change the way I looked, right? So I do work on, when I'm doing fat loss, I'm more diligent about eating more calories during the day so I can reduce carbs and fats in the evening. Now, I still eat proteins because I want my muscles to have full repair and keep them and hopefully get them to grow still. But I do reduce carbs and fats in the evening. So that shifts my caloric peak earlier in the day. It gives my body plenty of like work to do and plenty of calories to burn during the day. Gets it up and running. Everything's moving and grooving. And the body's, you know, allocating energy here, allocating energy there. And it's working like a furnace, like a factory, right? And then all of a sudden at the end of the day, I pull out the carbs and fats. And then the body says, oh, crap, you know, we're giving all this energy to all these different places. And it starts to all of a sudden burn through some body fat. And then it kind of slows back down to meet the calorie demand. But by then, I've already gotten some fat out and I'm going to bed. I don't work to replenish those calories until the morning the next day, and that gets the calories up and burning again. So the idea is you get your body burning through a lot of stuff during the day, then you pull the rug out from under its feet, essentially, and go to bed. And that helps you burn off a lot of fat. Now, if I train late in the evening, I still do proteins and fats, like after my training, and they would be more calories in that meal than if I wasn't training, but I don't do carbohydrates. I don't worry about like replenishing glycogen stores or things like that until the next day. I just have a very high carb-dense breakfast and second meal, and that starts to get my kind of glycogen back up, my energy stores back up throughout the day the next day. So I don't try to replenish glycogen right before I go to bed. The other thing is I select less nutrient-dense foods, and that just helps me lower calories without having to lower the volume of what I eat. So for example, if I normally eat steak and rice, I'm going to switch to chicken and rice. Chicken has less calories than steak does, but I still get to eat pretty much the same amount of meat. I get to eat the same amount of rice. I'm just not going to have as many fats in that meal since I'm switching to a lower fat meat, and that's going to reduce my calories, but I still get to feel like I eat the same volume of food. I tend not to reduce the size of what I eat. I reduce the calories within what I eat, and that helps a lot for craving control. It also helps with, like, for example, we have hunger signals that are sent to our brain when the lining of our stomach is stretched from volume of food. Well, that happens regardless of how many calories are in the food. Just the volume of the food is what causes that. So if you eat less nutrient-dense foods, you can eat a lot of food. You can still get the sensation of being full. So that's kind of fun, and that helps control cravings, which I like a lot. Okay. Then we have kind of physical thing is I move more. You know, I add in walks if I'm trying to lose fat. I select more cardio-based movements in my training. So maybe in like regular training, if I'm trying to just build purely muscle mass, like let's say barbell RDLs. Maybe I'm doing some RDLs to build up hamstrings and glutes. I might do like 5 sets of 5 reps with a weight I could probably do 7 or 8 if I wanted to, but just short rest periods. That might be a nice heavy stimulus to create a bunch of muscle damage. But instead of that, maybe I'll switch to some heavy kettlebell swings. That still gets the hamstrings and glutes, but it's way more cardiovascularly challenging. So I might make switches like that where I still target muscles I want. I still do things that get muscle damage, but they might have a higher cardiovascular component to them. Now, I do this with all my clients' programming as well, is I make them move in ways that burn up more oxygen, burn up more calories, but we don't trade off the muscle stimulus that we want to improve shape, build muscle, build strength, all that good stuff. So it's being very purposeful with your exercise selection. So I'm not just moving to move like a waste of time. I'm still getting muscle damage out of it, but there are cardiovascular structures to training that I would use compared to when I'm not trying to lose fat. I might slow the training down a little bit, try to catch my breath a little bit, focus a little bit more on heavier weights, and just not have to feel as cardiovascularly stressed. I just don't need it. So I don't do it. Now, the overall rate of loss that I look for when I'm trying to lose body fat is 4 to 8 pounds lost per 4 weeks. So about 1 to 2 pounds a week. Now, sometimes in life, you know, you go on a trip, you have a crazy stressful week, there's all these things that come up. So if as long as I'm anywhere in between the rate of 4 to 8 pounds lost per 4 weeks, I know I'm doing well. I'll often do this for 12, 16, maybe up to 20 weeks, but usually 12 to 16 is kind of the sweet spot of what I look to do. And that helps me lose anywhere from, you know, roughly like 12 to 32 pounds, which is typically significant enough for me to reach the aesthetic effect I was looking for, and before I start my next phase of trying to build muscle. So I said I've gained from 165 to 280. That wasn't all in one go. That was a lot of up and down, up and down, up and down on purpose. Well, maybe not as much on purpose in the early years, but certainly more purposeful as my knowledge grew over the years. But that is what we'd look for. Now, I have done larger rates of loss. You know, like I said, I've lost 50 pounds in 10 weeks. I've actually lost 50 pounds in 8 weeks before. But it's not sustainable. You're not going to be able to do it, for long term. You're going to get bigger rebounds. So maybe you could do it for 10, 12 weeks, but you're not going to keep all that loss because a significant amount of it is actually going to be water. And then a significant amount of what was able to change was due to habits that are not sustainable. You can't live that way. So therefore, you're going to go back to the way you eat before. You're going to go back to the weight you were before. Kind of makes sense. You lose more muscle mass. You lose the potential for new muscle mass, and or you lose actual muscle mass if you eat more severely to try to get a larger rate of change. Now, if I do a lower rate, you know, say you're like, well, 4 pounds per 4 weeks. What if I just try to lose 2 pounds every 4 weeks? Just kind of a waste of time. Like you're not getting a significant enough change in that amount of time that I think it's just kind of worthless. You might as well, like, it's kind of like you either do it or you don't kind of thing. If you want to lose the fat, get the fat off. Quit, dilly-dallying around in the middle and actually make some progress. So when I'm looking for fat loss, that's pretty much the things I always focus on. Consistency over details. I don't get super worried if I don't have the perfect food. Who cares? You know, just try to control my calories, control my volume, and move on to the next meal. I eat early, eat often, and I eat to match my activity level. I try to drink at least a gallon a day of fluids. And then I reduce carbs and fats kind of the last 3 to 4 hours before bed. I still have protein. I select less nutritionally dense foods. I move more, and I look for a rate of change of 4 to 8 pounds per 4 weeks. Now, weight gain, when I'm trying to do the opposite, I do the opposite. I still eat early, eat often, and I eat to match. But I will have more of my calories kind of spread out into the evening, so my body has more to build with while I'm sleeping. Now, that you can say, like, well, I'll just eat protein right before bed. You still have to have some kind of carbs and fats in the sense if you want maximal muscle tissue, like, building, because the process of building muscle needs to be fueled. The body uses energy to do that process. So I've said it before, like, if I want a brick house, I can have a million bricks, but who's going to put the bricks in the shape of a house? You have to have some workers, right? So I can have a million grams of protein, but I got to have some workers to put that protein into new muscle, which would be carbs and fats. So when I'm looking to gain weight, gain muscle tissue maximally, I'll go ahead and have more carbs and fats at night, so that way they can fuel that process. I just try to, like, eat what I feel like I need. You know, if I feel like I'm getting a little fatter than what I want over the course of a week or two, I'll pull back on how many carbs and fats I'm eating in the evening. So it's kind of trial and error and seeing how I feel. I also then will select more nutritionally dense foods rather than less nutritionally dense foods. So instead of chicken, switching from steak to chicken, I'll be switching from chicken to steak. So I'll be eating foods that have more calories in them rather than having to eat more foods. Now, I have eaten to the point where I threw up before. in the goal of trying to gain weight. Literally, involuntarily threw up because I was trying to force food down. So I know what it is to try to eat as much as you can and to do it very disciplined and very, like, diligent. Like, whenever you eat to the point of throwing up, like, literally I was trying to drink a chocolate, like, oats shake, and I was actually in the parking lot when I was in grad school, right outside of a building, because I was trying to finish a shake before I went into class. And I was like, dude, you say you want muscle. You want this, blah, 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 you know, bleep, 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 bleep. And I was telling myself, like, get the drink down. So I would, like, take a drink, swallow, swallow. Take a drink, swallow, swallow. Take a drink, swallow, throw up. So I have forced myself to eat way beyond comfortable. And it's just not necessary. You can just pick more nutritionally dense foods, so you don't have to eat such a volume of food that your body involuntarily throws up because it thinks you're trying to kill. I try to move less. Rather than moving more when I'm trying to lose fat, I try to move less when I'm trying to build muscle. So what I kind of think of myself is, if this doesn't damage muscle, I don't do it. I still do stretching. I still do some of my mobility work, but I'm not going to go for as many walks. I'm not going to help a friend move. I'm not trying to really limit how much activity I do, because I do not want to burn through a bunch of calories that I want to be fueling my muscle building process. So I move a lot less when I'm trying to build muscle. And that's outside the gym, in the gym. So rather than doing kettlebell swings, I'm sure as hell not going to do a kettlebell swing when I'm trying to gain muscle tissue. If this is, like, it depends on, like, what severity of this I'm looking for. So, for example, my rate of change that I'm looking for is 4 to 8 pounds per 4 weeks, but weight gained now, rather than 48 pounds per 4 weeks of weight loss. So if I'm only gaining 2 to 3 pounds, I am going to look at something like kettlebell swings and say, okay, I'm not doing that anymore. I got to get my freaking weight up. So I'm just going to switch to some basic standard RDLs. But let's say I'm cruising along at, you know, 7 to 8 pounds per 4 weeks, and I'm sure I can do kettlebell swings. Sure, I can go for a walk. Like, none of this stuff is so damn extreme. It's all within context. Now, it's hard to balance the context. I understand that. Trying to balance all of these elements. I do. I've worked through, you know, 20 plus years to be able to do all this. So I do understand it's challenging, but I do also want to mention that all this stuff is within context. So if your, you know, significant other wants to go for a walk, for the love of God, go for the damn walk. You know, like, enjoy the relationship, enjoy the time together. You know, I'm not going to go maybe for a run, but I'll go for a walk. You know, so it's just keeping things in perspective. I had a client before, they were getting ready for a bodybuilding show, and they wouldn't go to the movies because they felt like they got in the way of their eating. They, like, movies were 2 hours long, but by the time you travel to this and travel to that, so they told their significant other, like, I can't go to the movies when I'm prepping for a show. I told them, they're an idiot. Don't do that. Come on now. So it's something where we all want to be diligent. We all want to be super hardcore and hashtag beast mode when we have our goals. But it's not realistic. It's not sustainable. So learn to kind of realize that the sweet spot is not in the middle, because your chances are you're probably not doing anything productive if you're in the middle. It leans towards what you want, but it's not so damn extreme all the time. You know, it's just that consistency over details aspect that I talked about. When I'm trying to gain weight, when I'm trying to build muscle tissue, the things I focus on, again, is consistency over details. Eat early, eat often, eat to match, hydration, 1 gallon a day. I do now allow carbs and fats to last 3 to 4 hours before bed, still trying not to eat more than I really need. I select more nutritionally dense foods so I can get more calories in without having to eat so damn much. And then I move less, in the sense that I don't actively seek out cardiovascular activities. I try to reduce those to just what's bare minimum. And then I aim for the weight gain of 4 to 8 pounds per 4 weeks. So these are the things I do. It is that simple. But if you notice, it's not what most people would expect in regards to whenever it says my go-to diets for fat loss and weight gain. You would have probably listened to this podcast expecting me to say eat this for breakfast, this for lunch, this for dinner. That's not what nutrition is. Nutrition is not based on eating these insanely specific foods like kale versus broccoli. Who gives a shit? The difference between kale versus broccoli matters so damn little, unless you have like a nutritional like disorder. It matters so little, but that's where everybody focuses. You know, should I have brown rice or white rice? Who gives a shit? Probably white rice, because brown rice tastes like crap. I hate brown rice. It's disgusting. Now, I have done a diet where I eat brown rice and ground turkey every single day for 8 weeks. That was the only meal I had for 8 weeks. Literally ate nothing else, just that. Ground turkey and brown rice for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner, you know, for the meals in between. So I have eaten my fair share of brown rice. And I can tell you that it doesn't matter. That was an absolute waste of torture. So it was absolutely unnecessary. The details of specific foods matters so little. But it's so sad that that's where everybody focuses. And we're kind of conditioned that way, I'm guessing, you know, from social media and TV and whatever the hell things that teach us nutrition are. It's just so sad that that's where a lot of people focus, but that's one of the least things that matters. So what I did mention, like when it comes to specific food, was nutrient density. You know, steak has more calories per ounce than chicken does. That's helpful to know. You know, it is helpful to know what foods has more or less calories per volume of food. You know, so if I want to eat like squash noodles instead of regular pasta noodles in order to gain to lose body fat, it helps in the sense that it reduces calories. But it's not that the squash is something magic. It just has less calories, but you can eat the same amount of it as you can in pasta. So a lot of specific foods, the reason why they're good or bad, quote unquote, is like caloric content. But that's really the difference that you're looking for, is which of these foods will give me the calories I need, not that certain food is a good food and another food is a bad food. Nothing like that. So it's more important to be consistent. Eat what you like. You know, eat what you can afford. Eat what's going to be convenient. You know, something that tastes good. It's more important to enjoy the food so you can be consistent rather than hating what you're doing and then rebelling against it at some point in time and losing all the progress you've made. So podcast 1272 is a nutrition podcast titled What Matters Less Than You Think. And it actually explains why the what of what you eat matters a lot less than you think. So that's podcast 1272. So these are my go-to diets. Like, this is what I think whenever I want to lose fat or try to gain weight. I'm always, no matter what, going to eat early, eat often, and eat to match. I'm going to eat more during the day and less at night. I'm always going to worry about consistency over details. Who gives a crap if I can't get the perfect foods? Just eat whatever's there, move on to the next meal. And I'm always going to work to stay hydrated. Okay? So, hopefully this was helpful. I know that it didn't give you the specific meals, and that's probably what you tuned in for. But I think it's important for us all to hear that that's not what you should have been tuning in for, because it's not what makes the biggest difference. It's better to learn food. Yes, it's more of a pain in the butt. You'd rather just be told what to do. But it's better to actually learn what matters in food, what's in our foods, than how we can balance those concepts. You can then have this knowledge for the rest of your freaking life, look and feel great for the rest of your freaking life. If you continue to pursue diets that are eat this specific food at this specific time, you're always going to be pursuing the next diet when the last one failed. So if you want to get out of that rut, okay, listen to podcast 1147, which is eat early, eat often, eat to match. 702, which is consistency over details. And you can throw in 261, which is hydration for health, energy, and performance. But really, the lesson there is just stay hydrated, drink some fluids. Okay? Cool. Well, if you have any questions, let me know. I'm always available to help, always happy to help. If you like our podcast, please share it. You can share it on social media. That's the best way to reach the most amount of people. So think about doing that. You know, if you don't do that on a regular basis, but you do listen to the podcast on a regular basis, think about throwing out, you know, the podcast maybe once a week. If you hear one that you like this upcoming week, throw it out there on social media and see if you can get a couple people to join in with you. The more people we get listening to the podcast, the more people we can help. So I truly appreciate anything you can do to help drive people to the podcast, just so that way we can just help the world and just get better information out there. Also, thank you to the patrons of the podcast, the people who financially support the podcast through the Podbean podcast platform. You can sign up there to give a small monthly donation. You can get a one-time donation. We have a link on our Instagram homepage for that. The podcast is well over $1,000 a year for hosting costs, so I really appreciate the help so I can continue to do this every single day for free. It does take an hour of my day every day to do this, but I love doing it. But to also not have the financial burden of it helps a lot, so thank you very much. Also, if you like the information that we do share in our podcast, we always share more information and different types of information on our social media channels. So if you haven't checked us out there, please do. It's on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. I do post on Instagram the most, so I would definitely check that one out and follow us while you're there. It's under the name Brutal Iron Gym. Cool. Well, as always, like if you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, if there's ever anything you want to know, well, that's the whole point of what this podcast is for. Just shoot us an email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. Cool. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.